News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Broadcasting live today from the Grand Hyatt over in the Buckhead area in Atlanta. Here for the Conservative Partnership Institute's gathering. We got a ton of folks over here, legislators from multiple states. I've already run into a few that I met when I was at another gathering in D.C. And this is a very cool opportunity to get together with folks who are like-minded, conservative truly to their core, and who are willing to take it out, words and put it into action. I mean, they're literally looking at forming freedom caucuses right now in the state legislatures. And I can't tell you what a big deal that is. I mean, just a huge deal. Earlier in the segment there, you heard Congressman Andy Biggs, who's been the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus in D.C. now for a number of years. Keep in mind, he started off in the Arizona State Legislature. Very often it happens that way. Just like here in a little while, we're going to have Congressman Barry Moore, who served in the state House while I was in the state Senate. We knew each other in Montgomery. Now he serves in Congress as a member of the Freedom Caucus. And then, folks, I'm just telling you, it is one thing to be a Republican, because if I had to choose party, and I do, I choose parties. I was an elected Republican. I was a member of the state Republican Party's executive committee. I was the party chairman for my county. But all said and done, you know I say it all the time. It is not always true that being a Republican makes you a conservative. Sometimes it is, but having an R by your name does not indeed mean that you are conservative. Well, listen, let me do this. So we started the show a little different. Usually I start off by just, you know, after I greet Copper, talk about the Triple Dipper, we kind of move through into my monologue. That's been the flow. Today we moved it around a little bit, so I'm just going to begin to sort of give you my comments for now. All right, I'm going to tell you right now, you got to proof check things, you know what I'm saying? Got to proof check them. So here's the deal. I have a confession to make, aside from the fact that I am not always technologically sound, and I am what I call a push-to-talk guy, meaning I don't understand how the sound system works. I just want it to work. I have a confession to make in another direction, though. I'm also a voice texter, all right? Does that make me old? I don't know. But I do think that generations younger than me can bang out some words on their cell phones like a spider monkey grabbing bananas off a tree. And then that whole swipe thing on the keyboard, the whole keyboard swipe, I don't even get it. Just run your fingers around in a zigzag pattern and voila, words appear. But the voice text thing, I like it, but it ain't perfect. It has gotten me into some jams and committed to me some follow-up text apologies, I can just tell you. Because of one thing, spell check. You heard me, spell check. I'm talking about you, spell check. Spell check on a phone is so notorious that some folks even have an automatic response phrase built into their phone messaging that just says something like, message sent from my phone, please excuse typos. Well, no, 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 my friend, we don't get off that easy. Not when spellcheck plays its evil little games and substitutes another real but very incorrect word for what you meant to say. So long as I'm confessing, let me just give you three shocking examples from my personal inventory of why I have a love-hate relationship with spellcheck. Here's one. A few years ago, while I was still in the state Senate, I had a position on a bill that the teachers union hated me for. Well, they hated me anyway, but the reality is there was a bill. And, you know, but even when I get the usual vitriolic emails, I try to respond as best I could. So on one occasion, I was responding to one of my usual teachers union haters. I'll just call her Ms. Jones. Well, she unloaded her talking points and her insults, to which I initiated my response. I started off by saying, hello, Ms. Jones, thanks for the email. Only spellcheck didn't quite get it right. Hello left off the O. Spellcheck didn't do the word right. The email came together as, hell, Ms. Jones, thanks for the email. One letter sort of changes the whole tone, if you know what I'm saying. Here's another one. Another time, I was hiring a new staff person for the law firm, right? And this person had just confirmed to me that she was taking the job. So I was texting her the details on when and how to report for her first day. I was texting. I used the whole greeting and the sign-off thing. I ended the voice text by saying to my phone, thanks, comma, Phil. Only the text that went to her ended with, thanks, comma, Phil the heat. Phil the heat? I have no idea where spellcheck got the notion to add the heat after my name. I had to immediately text my new employee to let her know that I was not crazy. I do not refer to myself in the third person as the heat. It was mortifying. But in what could have been the absolute worst ever, the one from which there would have been no recovery, no ability to explain or ever show my face in public again, the one which would have required turning in my man card forever. Just this past weekend, I was texting a guy, a guy named Greg, who I think is listening right now, about some business aspects of Right Side Radio. He was sharing his thoughts on growing the show, and I voice texted back to him, "I like your thinking." But Spellcheck changed it to, "I like your thong." I like your thong? What fresh hell is this? What Spellcheck deviousness? I just praise God in heaven that I chose to learn from my bad past experiences and proof check it before it got sent. So luckily Greg got the one that did say, "I like your thinking," and not the one that said, "I like your thong." Pretty sure I hate Spellcheck now on several levels. So lesson learned, all right? Always proof your work. Spellcheck is a tool. Spellcheck is not necessarily your friend. Okay. All right. So, you know, I always have a point here, right? All that's mildly amusing. Well, hilarious, really. But as I always do, I have a point. And after all, this is Right Side Radio, so you can bet I'm going to flip the script and turn that self-effacing story into a conservative viewpoint. Yep. All right. My point is this. We've got to start proof-checking our politicians and making corrections as needed. Too often these days, there just basically is no way of knowing. There's a reasonable facsimile of political action, but it does not necessarily equate to what the voters originally intended when they voted for that person. Case in point, this is among the reddest of red states in Alabama. Polling indicates that not only does Alabama vote largely Republican, but we intend for our votes to be largely conservative. Remember, like I said before, there's a difference. So many of our elected officials in the state ran for office with a message that said, "I am this," but they actually did that, with that being something far less conservative than the red meat, MAGA hat-wearing, gun-toting, tax-cutting, limited government, tax on crime, fix our school conservatives that they said they were in their campaign ads. Every 4 years, the people of Alabama vote for governor, lieutenant governor, state senators, and state representatives. In 2018, a third of those of us who were in the legislature at the time all chose not to run again. Since that time, you've seen your gas taxes increased, record levels of government spending, no appreciable effort to cut taxes, and schools in Alabama have dropped to dead last in the nation. All of that happened in the legislature and was ratified by Governor Ivey, and all of them are up for re-election. Now, some of them are solid and doing what they can, but they're getting run over by the moderates and special interests because they don't have a platform, a team of conservatives to work with. And last year, for the first time, the Alabama Policy Institute published the first opportunity that I think you've really had to proof check your politicians. We published what we called our legislative scorecard. We started proof checking our elected officials. Now, some of them did pretty poorly, and some of them actually indicated that they are truly conservative by their scores. I'm going to suggest to you, though, that it's time for something to change. I'm going to suggest that the actual conservative members of the Alabama State House and Senate need to form a conservative caucus. They need to band together, become a voting bloc. With great success, the conservatives in Congress have done just that by what I've been telling you is called the Freedom Caucus just a few years ago. And right now, the leadership of the Alabama legislature does not want that to happen. How do I know? Because I floated the idea 2 years ago and was actually asked not to help put that together. The only thing that got in the way was COVID, but I'm back on it now. And if I can do anything to help the conservative cause in Alabama, I'm going to do two things. One, I'm going to make it a priority to help any grassroots effort outside of Montgomery's political bubble. And number two, help establish a conservative caucus inside of Montgomery's bubble. And Alabama, as one of the reddest states of the red states, should be leading the way with that effort, but we're not. As I speak, I am broadcasting today from a gathering in Atlanta where the Conservative Partnership Institute, in conjunction with the House Freedom Caucus in Congress, is helping to form the first ever state legislative freedom caucus in the Georgia state legislature. Now, that's the state that just elected a guy named Raphael Warnock to the U.S. Senate. They should not be ahead of us in establishing a formal conservative caucus in their state legislature. But they are, and good for them. So, folks, that's how we proof our work as voters. This is how we use spell check, if you will, on our politicians. When we elect someone on the promises that they made, we should know that we can rely upon them. Did they do the things they said they would do? Will they join a conservative caucus to fight for what our citizens typically stand for? Check the scorecards from the Alabama Policy Institute. They're on my website, rightsideradio.org. Watch for the Conservative Partnership Institute to form a conservative caucus in your state and let them know if they are not measuring up. And never assume that Spellcheck is just your friend. And never assume for a minute that a politician's campaign ads are the only proof you need. You check your work, and you check your elected officials, and you'll be glad you did. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, I'm on a roll there, folks. We'll come back and I'll tell you a little bit more about Freedom Caucus and how they work and what they stand for. But I'll also look forward to, at the top of the hour, having one of our own, Congressman Barry Moore, is going to call in. He is one of the more conservative members who served in the state house while I was down there and is now in Congress, serving us in that same capacity as a member of the Freedom Caucus, and I'm glad he's there. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back.